Hello and welcome to the Week 5 review for the NFL season from First and Ten. I'm Ollie, once again joined by Dave. Dave, how are you doing, mate?
Yeah, not too bad. How are you?
Yeah, very good, thanks. A very good week last week. Spent a lot of time in press conferences and not a lot of time. Always the best way to spend a week. Joined this time by Miles. Miles, how are you doing, mate?
Considering, I'm gesturing towards the score on my screen. Obviously, you can't see it. Yeah, I'm fine. Yeah, actually not doing too bad.
But let's try and focus less so on the things that make us sad today.
Well, we
Well,
can't
start
because you're going to
of
make us talk about it.
all,
So,
yeah. Just
well,
football in general. If you want me to talk about the Patriots and you can talk about the Giants, then I think that's a fair compromise.
I can deal with that, yeah.
Well,
Sure.
before we get to that point, we'll start with the Thursday night game. Bears with a pretty comfortable win over the Commanders. Somehow put up a bit of fight in the second half. But he wasn't really ever close enough for the Bears to be concerned. They just ran through the Commanders through that first half. Dave, I mean, is this just a freak game, or are there some signs there from the Bears that are somewhat encouraging?
Like, honestly, I have no idea. Like, I don't know what Washington are. Every time I sort of think, yeah, they are actually a good team, they put in a performance like this. Like, they've had two absolutely woeful performances this year, but and not just like bad, like absolutely awful. And but like out, the other games have been pretty good. It's really hard to know, and that's what's tough to know about this Bears performance, whether it is Washington just having one of those games, like when they played the Broncos and Bears look better, and it's just the Broncos defense. I just really don't know what to make of this from the Bears, but I mean, it's hard to argue that Justin Fields hasn't been a lot better these last two games. But yeah, how much you can trust it, I really don't know. I think probably look back in a few weeks and maybe go, oh, actually Washington weren't the team we thought they were, or maybe they are, and the Bears do look a lot better. I think we probably need to look back at this game in in 2 or 3 weeks and know sort of what actually happened. Because say what, we're almost a week now since that game, and I really don't understand what happened on Thursday night this week.
Miles, did you enjoy this one as a Justin Fields fan?
Yes, I did. Honestly, just he was slinging it, and that's one of the things he does best. And yeah, he was slinging it, and it worked. He had a shot to Darnell Mooney that was incomplete. And I think if Mooney had just tried to run under it, that's going for a 60, 70-yard touchdown, however long it was. Like there was, I honestly don't really think. I know he had 14 incompletions, but he was just fantastic. Four touchdowns, 282 yards. Yeah, I think that secondary of the Washington Commanders got absolutely torched, and it could have been worse. They were very lucky that it wasn't. But yeah, Cole Kmet stepped up as well, and yeah, honestly, when Fields works, everyone around him works. It's great.
It is quite funny looking at, I mean, obviously fantasy points is just one way to look at it, but not a single Bears wide receiver other than DJ Moore scored against the Commanders. Just all went through him.
Yeah, all commit. Big boy commit.
Yeah, I mean, that's a bit is like, Darnell Mooney didn't have a single catch. It
On
was
four
incredible.
targets as well.
Yeah, I mean that's it. I mean, this is the thing. It's like it didn't feel that sort of one-sided. Obviously, they had multiple massive plays to DJ Moore,
Yeah.
but the run game felt like it was going pretty well as well. So it wasn't like a one-dimensional offense or anything. And we'll move on to the London game. Unfortunately, don't think any of us were able to make it to this one, but we were at plenty of press conferences. The Jags ended up taking the Bills on this one. Miles, what did you see on this one? Do you think the Jags are a contender, or was it just a bad game for the Bills?
This was what the Jags should have done against Kansas City. Kansas City were there for the taking in, I think it was week one, and the Jags just kind of choked a bit. And I thought they were going to do that again today,
not today, this weekend with the Bills, you know, because there are a couple of turnovers and I was, you know, kind of worried a bit. But honestly, they it was a thorough professional performance and they made it through in the end. And that's what good teams do. They can have hiccups during the game where they turn the ball over or whatever, but the defense was pretty strong. And, you know, Trevor Lawrence got his team down the field, 315 yards, a touchdown. I think he did a great job. I need to see more of that before I can confidently say this is a contending team. But, you know, to beat the Bills are a really good team. You know, I think 3-2 is a very strange looking record for them because, yeah, I don't think, you know, they're better than their record suggests. I think beating the Bills is a huge achievement and they could have beaten the Chiefs, although that was more the Chiefs not playing very well. So, yeah, it's going to be really interesting to see what they can do in the next couple of weeks. But I'm going to just hold off calling them a contender for now.
But they almost did throw it away. The Bills did their best to try and pull it back right at the end. Was it just a case of too many injuries, Dave? Or, were the Bills just not good enough? Is that not the excuse? Because they've got quite a long injury list at the moment.
Yeah, they definitely have got a lot of injuries. But it just felt sluggish, didn't they? Just never felt like they got going until that very end when, you know, it was in desperation mode. It was like, I think this is definitely going to be one of them where you could take a lot from it in terms of the Jags being over for over a week before the game and the Bills only getting on Friday. You know, I think people will probably look at that. And I mean, we've got it again this week. The Ravens are coming over earlier and who are they playing? The Titans are coming in later. But, you know, it'll be interesting to see how that plays out as well, or if it is something to do with the travel, because coming in late like that I just don't know how it can be the best way, but they all do it now. Nearly all of them come in on the Friday, so I'm sure they do a lot more research into it than I do, but it just doesn't feel like it can be the best way. But to me, I'd get over as early as possible. And
I feel like if you've been on holiday once, you know that's not a good idea.
Just come over like straight after the game on Sunday. To me, that must be a better way of doing it. I just don't know how that wouldn't be the way you go, but yeah, they just look really sluggish. It reminds me of the Commanders, really, because we've seen like a couple of performances for the Bills that just haven't been great. You know, the opening game against the Jets and then this one, where they just haven't looked good. But then in the other three games, they looked incredible, I thought. So it's, I don't know, they're a weird team. I still think Buffalo are a lot, you know, if I was doing power rankings, I'd still have Buffalo well above the Jags, I think. I feel like the Bills are contenders. They will be contenders come the end of the season, and they're going to be hard to beat. I think, you know, just a bad day at the office, really. But yeah, Jacksonville got the job done. As Miles said, it really felt like that Chiefs game where they were going to throw it away, you know, have all the opportunity to win it and just sort of snatch defeat from the jaws of victory sort of thing. It was a weird game. They got it done in the end. But yeah, I totally agree, Miles. Just need to see a bit more of that before I can sort of start to have any sort of confidence in Jacksonville.
Well, it is an interesting decision to fly in on Friday. The only thing I could possibly think to justify it would be sort of Doug Pederson talking about how much they love their routine and they wanted to make it feel like a normal week. So
yeah.
Maybe it's just that thing of they want as many normal days as possible and then the disruption is minimised. I don't know. But
we were both there on Friday. All the Bills players were talking about how they've been told not to sleep and stuff like that, weren't they? All day. Pretty much every single player mentioned it. They're like, you know, they're not allowed to sleep until later and stuff. And they were, you know, all of them were like knackered, basically. It was, it was quite strange.
Yeah, Josh Allen was talking about how much coffee he had. That's the thing. Like, when you're about to play a professional sport, I don't think heaps of coffee
And not sleeping.
I think it was one of the linebackers for the Falcons said that he was just going to take a load of melatonin on the plane and then drink a load of coffee when he got here. Again, I'm sure that can't be good for your body when you're about to take part in a professional sport. I mean, surely there's got to be some kind of better science behind it. You'd think the amount of analysis that goes into it nowadays, surely there's got to be a better way.
Yeah.
But we'll move on to the Falcons. Narrow victory with a last-minute field goal over the Texans. I mean, the Falcons' defense, they did pretty well here, didn't they, Miles? I mean, obviously, we've seen very good performances from CJ Stroud throughout the season so far, but I think they did pretty well to limit him, didn't they?
Yeah, I mean, they kept him under 250 only just. They were good at, you know, keeping the ground game under wraps as well. Damian Pierce only had 66 yards on 20 carries, so it's only 3.3 yards a carry. It's, yeah, I think, yeah, the Falcons defense, this is what they want to do. They want to have a good defense and then just run the ball a lot and take, you know, take time off the clock and just control the game with their game manager QB Desmond Ridder. But their whole offensive scheme isn't that good, which is, you know, I mean, they're 3-2, so, you know, it's working, but I still don't have any confidence in them in terms of like playoffs and stuff like that, because I feel like, you know, Houston, no one really expected much from Houston, and it was a really tight game in the end. And yeah, I think defensively, the Falcons were really good. Still not convinced on them offensively. Ridder, I like Ridder. He was pretty good, but it's like when he plays well, then that's when Bijan doesn't. Like, they can't have everything clicking at once. So I think we need to see more from Atlanta to know they're legit, because the defense is pretty solid. Just need the offense to sort itself out, because, again, you know, one of the only days Kyle Pitts has, you know, actually been schemed open and showed up and, you know, made some good plays. They got their good pass catchers involved, but most of the time it's either Pitts or London. And now, you know, that was the first time we'd seen both of them doing really well. But then Bijan's out, you know, only 46 yards. So it's just like, yeah, once it all gets clicking, then we can start talking about them being like a solid team. But right now I'm still not sold.
There's only one ball. Come on. Can only
yeah,
go to
I know,
one
but
you
just,
time.
I don't know. I feel like really good offenses, you know, they can still rack up, like, you know, they can get a lot of work and production out of their lead back and still spread the ball around enough. But yeah, who knows?
Yeah,
I mean,
no,
maybe I'm
enough.
Being too critical, but I'm still not overly sold on them.
No, I mean, that's absolutely fair. I think it's very difficult to see any sort of longevity in this Falcons offense. I mean, it does feel like something's going to change at some point, whether that's the quarterback or the head coach or whatever.
Well, there was talk of it about Heinicke starting, then Ridder just, you know, put up 329 yards and no interceptions. So it's like, maybe.
And silence. There is like literally, it's all it takes is one good performance and no one's talking about the backup anymore. I'm sure next week we'll all be begging for Heinicke again. We'll wait until that point, I guess. The Lions with a very comfortable win over the Panthers. Dave, I guess, were there some more promising signs from Bryce Young in this game, or is it still, like, obviously when you go down early, you tend to pass more. Is that just a case of inflated stats, or what are you actually seeing from him in this game?
I feel like they opened it up a little bit for him. You know, I think last week in particular, it was just constantly like screen after screen, you know, just short passing, where this time I think they gave him the chance to actually sort of throw it downfield a little bit more. But yeah, it wasn't. I mean, I think he was fine. I think I end up saying it every game. I'm just not too worried about Bryce Young. As long as he doesn't look absolutely dreadful, I think I'm more worried about him. Sort of, you know, if he still looks like this time next year, then maybe I'll start worrying. But I think for now, I'm sort of quite fine with where he is. But I mean, I don't know. Adam Thielen looked good, didn't he? I mean, what did he get? 11 catches or something like that in the end, wasn't it?
Yeah, 7 yards.
Yeah, like, he looked good and Mingo looked decent enough. And, you know, but after that, you know, Chark isn't what he used to be. You know, there's not really a great deal there, is there? If Adam Thielen is sort of your main man in 2023, then, you know, it's not ideal, really, is it? He's, what, 33 or 4 now, I think. he's very much on the back end of his career. And if he's still sort of that player, it's not ideal, really. But yeah, I think Young has got better. I think there's stuff you can see that he is doing better. He still makes a couple of silly mistakes out there that, you know, weren't great. But I think the Lions are just a good team. I think they've had the easiest run to start the season, either the Panthers. You know, there's probably been more gentle starts they could have had. They've not played like the best teams in the league, but they haven't really had any sort of, you know, real cupcake sort of games that you think a real chance to win one, you know, like playing the Patriots or something. But you know, they've had lots of good teams. They, you know, got the Dolphins coming up this week. It's not exactly going to be easy again, but you know, after bye they got the Texans, and maybe that's a chance to get a win on the board. But yeah, I think the Panthers are fine, but I don't think anyone really expected them to do too much this year. So I don't think anyone's too worried, because I think even if you're optimistic, you probably thought 5-6 games they might win if you were sort of really sort of confident in them. So them being at this place where they are now isn't really a massive shock, I don't think. But yeah, they looked fine. I thought, you know, for what I'm expecting from them, there wasn't anything sort of that jumped out as absolutely awful, but they're just a bit of a rubbish team, to be honest. There's just a lack of talent, isn't there, I think, especially on offense. I think there's sort of just a lack of any real sort of talent to help out Bryce Young.
I'm starting to feel quite good about my prediction of 3 wins for the Panthers this year. I'm sure they'll get some along the way. How good are we feeling about the Lions at this point, Dave?
I always think what you want to see from teams is sort of blowing out teams like this, you know, in this sort of situation. Go in there, just take care of business, make it look as easy as it should be, really, you know. And I think that's what they did. It was such an easy win, and there was never really any doubt about it. It was just they just played really well. Really easy win. Like, yeah, say, just straightforward as it could be, really. It was a good sort of professional performance, and that's sort of what you want in these games against the teams they should be beating. You know, just go out and make it easy. Don't keep it close and lose a shocker, really.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll move on to a game that I'm sure that Miles is dying to talk about, the Colts with a win over the Titans. Gardner Minshew came into the game and he did not lose them the game, to be fair. I think it was very much a case of, I think he got a couple of field goals for them. He did enough to sort of maintain the lead.
11 of 14, 155 yards. But most importantly, they got the win. Okay. Like,
well, I mean, that's the thing. He didn't do anything special, did he?
He came on and they won the game. That's what happened. They were already leading.
But
they still won the game. They won the game. He came on and they won the game. That's what happened. I literally didn't. All I said was, I just presented you with 2 facts. He came on.
Yeah, but when you say he came on and they won the game, it sounds like one is as a result of the other.
He came on and they won the game. Those are the 2 things that are correct. Okay. I'm just saying.
Feels like watching some sort of debate in like the House of Commons here, doesn't it? Like, just sort of getting you on a technicality.
The same way Gardner Minshew has more passing yards than Peyton Manning this season. You know, just 2 facts. You know.
And Tom Brady. Just, combined.
Yeah, exactly. Combined. It's just incredible, right? So, yeah. Look, and now Richardson's out for a few weeks. So Minshew gets to start, and we can see what he can really do. You know, it's exciting. But yeah, I think he was fine. You know, he didn't need to do too much. He managed the game well. He kept the ball. That's what he needed to do. You know, I think if they needed him to sling it, he would have done. You know, he had a would-be touchdown towards the end, but it was drops. You know, these things happen. It's, you know, wasn't his fault. So yeah, but the Colts just looked like a running team, really, just they've swapped Moss in for Taylor, and that's it. 23 carries, 165 yards. They were just pounding the rock, and that's what got them to the finish line in the end. They did what Tennessee usually do, but they did it to Tennessee.
Yeah, I mean, like you say, he came in. It was a decent enough performance to get them over the line. Very much, I'd say the equivalent of being the last man in the Jamaican 4x100 meter relay. Usain Bolt had already done it. Well,
is literally called the anchor, and I'm just the anchor is quite important. So
that is true, but the anchor is quite useless when you don't have a rest of the boat to go with it. So
yeah, I know, but it keeps you home, it keeps you safe, keeps you stable. You know, these are all things a good boat needs.
It's what everyone stability. Wants their dynamic starting quarterback to be described as. We'll move on to the Dolphins and the Giants. I don't really want to talk about this one, to be honest. Dave, have you got any lasting impressions?
I mean, it wasn't Tua's best game, was it? It was, you know, a couple of mistakes out there, but you know, I don't think it mattered too much. I think the good thing with Tua this season, when he has made a mistake, it feels like he's come straight back out firing. He's not, you know, he's not gone hiding at all after it's happened. He makes an interception. He throws an interception, sorry. They come straight back out playing the same way they were before, which I think is really good to see, because it can be quite easy for, you know, make a bad pass to all of a sudden you sort of go into your shell a little bit, and he's not doing that at all. So, yeah, it's good to see. But, yeah, I mean, the Giants, I don't really know. I mean, without Saquon, it's hard to really think too much about what this offense is and isn't. And I mean, you did finish the game with no quarterback, didn't you? Did Tyrell Taylor go out in the end? I know it looked like I know when after Daniel Jones was out, it said that Tyrell Taylor was out, but I don't know, or got down injured or something. So I don't know if they actually came back in or not, because I'll be honest, I stopped paying attention to the very end of this game. But, you know,
that is, it was fair enough.
Yeah. I mean, I don't really know what to think with the Giants. Like, Darren Waller had a pretty big game, you know, sort of.
Yeah, he looked quite good,
what we sort of expected from him. Yeah.
We had our first half touchdown of the season by the defense, but, you know, it's something. Still are yet to take an offensive snap with a lead so far this season. So. There's still so many holes. Apparently Daniel Jones, so what I've seen, they're optimistic he's going to be playing in week six.
Does it matter?
Exactly. From my perspective, I'm just saying, why risk it? Like, what is the point? You've not got a season to save. Like, come on.
At this stage, sure. I'm just rooting for you to win games just in the battle for the number one pick now. You know, I feel like both of our teams are sort of very much in that battle. And yeah, I'm very much rooting for the Giants.
I think the Bills are going to do New York next week. So I think you're going to have to give up on that dream for a bit.
Yeah, I know. But what Commanders and the Jets after that, isn't it? I know it got easier after the Bills for a bit. So, you know, the dreams are alive. Like, whatever the thing is for Caleb or whatever, it's...
The Trojan.
Yeah, yeah, nice. Yeah, there we go. Yes, I'm very much just on board with that.
Yeah, this is the thing. It feels... We just seem lost. Like, I don't think we're in a rebuilding phase. But that seems to be... If Jones is injured, that kind of is where you have to go. Again, for Daboll... I think for his job security, I think he'll want to say that we need a new quarterback, give himself another year or two.
No doubt that the second half of the season is way softer on the schedule. You know, like, you got...
Well, we've still got to play the Eagles twice.
You got the Commanders, the Jets, the Raiders... I mean, the Cowboys don't exactly look unbeatable, do they? The Commanders, again, Patriots. The Packers aren't amazing. The Saints aren't amazing. The Rams, you know. There's definitely lots of winnable games there. It's the first half.
It does get easier.
It was an absolutely brutal schedule to start the season.
Yeah, well, it's a brutal start and finish to the season because it's week 16 Eagles. Then I forget who we're playing in week 17, but then week 18 is the Eagles.
So you got the Rams in week 17.
I don't rest people in week 18. You like lose out on a draft pick, though. Like, you know, you move down the draft order because they've rested people and you've won a game accidentally.
It was considered quite a big deal when we quote unquote lost the Chase Young Bowl by beating Washington in the last game of the season. And I remember feeling a little bit of optimism at that point of time because Daniel Jones has shown some game-winning ability. Maybe some of that is still in there, but it's difficult to piece together behind a broken offensive line. But to be fair, it's one of those, I'm not even sure if we won in the end, because there was a point last season where I was thinking, oh, maybe we actually got a better deal out of that by getting Andrew Thomas as opposed to Chase Young. And now Andrew Thomas is injured. and the whole offensive line is just a mess. I mean, to be fair, it's one of those when the left guard, left tackle, and center are all injured. You can understand that it's gonna be tough.
And your best offensive player as well, like in Saquon. It is everything that could have gone wrong has pretty much gone wrong for the Giants, other than Daniel Jones getting injured, and even now that's happened. It's been rough. Like, you know,
also didn't draft a proper wide receiver when you needed one. Like, didn't really get that. Hire is just not the guy. Like, I didn't really get that pick. Like,
I think that's what Darren Waller was supposed to be, though, wasn't it? I think he was sort of being brought in as that.
Yeah, but
sort of alpha receiver sort of thing. But I don't really know if he is that at this stage of his career. I don't really know. But I mean, that was the plan, wasn't it? I think
I did quite like the draft on paper, mainly just because I mean, it's one of those. I don't really watch enough college to be like, okay, he's a good pick. And also, even if I did, I don't think I've got a good enough scouting eye to be able to pick it out.
Well, I like to think I do, and I was amazed you picked Hyatt, because I honestly, he offers speed, and a lot of his production was on busted coverages.
Well, the problem is I don't think Daniel Jones gets long enough holding the ball for Hyatt sort of skills to really sort of be of any value to him, do they really? He's by the time Hyatt sort of got to where he needs to be, Daniel Jones has already been sacked about 10 seconds before. So, it's, in that sense, it doesn't really work as a player, does he? He's not really a big fit for this offense.
Yeah, it's just... that's the thing, is that we've been desperately needing a deep threat. In theory, Hyatt is supposed to be that. But it's just, I don't know. It really does make me miss the days of preseason where everyone was talking about how he was faster than Tyreek Hill and all this kind of stuff. It's pretty dire at this point.
It's
in the season.
Preseason. Wow.
But the Dolphins look good, so good for them. Moving on to the Saints and the Patriots.
Oh God.
34-0. I mean, somehow you lost worse than we did. Dave, anything positive out of this?
Honestly, I don't think there was. I don't think there was a single thing. Like, I saw one of like the Patriots like writers, like it was the good and the bad points. And like, honestly, he's really earned his money there, coming up with some good points, because it was absolutely like just there was nothing good. There was absolutely nothing positive about it. I've got nothing good to say about that Patriots performance.
We held Kamara to 3.6 yards a carry. That's almost a positive. It's almost a positive. But again, our top receiver for receptions was Zeke with 4 catches for 17 yards. But most yards was Kendrick Bourne, 2 receptions for 43 yards. It was nothing happened. Like,
We're playing catch up from the beginning. That's what's mad about that.
Yeah.
Like, it's not like, you know, if that was the stats when your team's won, it like is what it is, you know, like just we were playing catch up and we still couldn't get the ball.
Mac Jones was a disaster as expected.
Oh, that pick at the start was just...
Even Bailey Zappi didn't have a good game. Like, usually the other week he came up, he mopped up, he was okay. He was 3 for 9. Like, he couldn't hit anyone either. Like, it was just everyone had a bad day, and yeah.
I think the changes in the offense have sort of gone away from what Zappi did well. I think, you know, if they do make the change, I do think it will be a bit of a tweak to the offense, because I'm not sure that he comes in and runs this one quite like he used to run Matt Patricia's offense, which is depressing to say. But but I just think it suited him a little bit more to sort of come into that. I think the hard thing is we could really do with like a bye soon. If we're going to make a change, a bye would be lovely, but I don't think the bye's still like week 11, which, you know, by then...
It's a lot of pain to endure before we get a
very,
week off.
Very much into tanking from there, you know. The Raiders game next week...
I was just going to say that it says a lot that it's 6 weeks away and you're already looking forward to the week where you're
not
playing.
No, I can't wait. Yeah, it's the best week of the year.
But the most oppressive thing is we play the Jets in week 8 and we'll probably win that game to cock it up to like get the quarterback.
I don't think we would beat the Jets now. I think we nearly threw it away the other week and Zach Wilson started to get into a rhythm and we've got worse. So I actually think the Jets will beat us.
Oh, I hope so. I really don't want to win another game this season. I just want to lose out. I can just ignore the games. I don't have to worry about what's happening. You know, we've got Buffalo like the week after. They're going to absolutely destroy us. The Dolphins after that, destroy us. The Commanders, you know, they'll probably have a bad game against us and we'll accidentally win. But, you know, just, it's just awful to watch. That's the thing. It's not just bad. It's so boring. It is so boring to watch. And so, I don't know. Everything about it is bad. Defensively, like, we've lost our two best players.
Yeah.
It is good already from what it did. Like, these last two games, like, what was 72-3 over these last two games? The Saints aren't good. The Saints are not a good team.
Yeah.
And they've come in and absolutely, like, destroyed us. It is awful.
In our own backyard, yeah.
Just embarrassing.
Moving on to the Ravens and the Steelers. One of the stranger games that you see, a lot of special teams action on this one. Miles, what did you make of this game? Was it, I mean, very strange performances from both quarterbacks as well.
I will defend Lamar Jackson. Like, I pretty much would always defend him, but there were just a few bad decisions and he just, like, when he was in his, you know, early couple of years in the NFL, he was sort of like a one read guy and then run it. And I think he's almost starting to go back to that because he trusts his legs so much, because he is really, you know, he's obviously a phenomenal runner. And I think sometimes he does just need to sort of trust his team a bit more. You know, they've got that new OC and you know, they're trying to pass the ball more. And I think he just needs to just trust his arm a bit more, because, you know, when he does, it works. So, but again, the Steelers' defensive front were just horrible. Like, they were camped out in the backfield, and it was nasty. You know, TJ Watt wasn't even really the star of the show, and he was still fantastic. That's just how good they were. And yeah, Ravens, not worried about them. Think they'll be fine. Steelers seem really inconsistent, but, you know, and also I was 1 week away from my prediction about Najee and Warren. I think Warren is now, you know, he had less carries, but he did more with it, and starting to see the tilt.
Yeah, it's very interesting where these teams are at now. So both 3-2. It's very tough to sort of see the Steelers as a good team, whereas the Ravens, I do feel like they are. I don't know. It just feels like the Ravens are a much better team, but obviously the Steelers have just won this game. They've both got the same records. Dave, how do you view them within the AFC?
Well, I think coming into the season, I think I was very low on the Ravens. I didn't really think, you know, the coordinator change was going to make that much difference. I don't think it's made that much difference. This offense doesn't look too different to me. I'm not saying they're not doing something slightly different and passing it a little bit more and opening up that, but I don't think Lamar Jackson looks any more effective than he was. I don't think, you know, I don't think he looks any better particularly. I just watch his Ravens team. I find, like, I don't think an offense with Lamar Jackson, it should be quite so boring to watch. I don't find them particularly interesting. You know, they're not a team I particularly want to watch much of, which just shouldn't be the case with Lamar Jackson. He's like one of the most electric playmakers in the whole league. And I think, like, halftime is like, the Ravens popped up on red zone. It's like, oh God, here we go. Like, what's this going to be? Like, I don't know. I don't think either of these teams are great. And I think it's probably very good news if you're like the Bengals, who, well, they're not even far behind. They're only one game behind these two teams, which, you know, the Ravens had a chance to sort of extend that over the Bengals and make it sort of pretty hard. I don't think it's still early in the season, but, you know, two games is quite a long way ahead, you know, in this league, where the Bengals wouldn't have had that much room for error then. But I don't know. I don't really have faith in either of these teams to get it done when it really matters. Like you say, probably a little bit more in the Ravens, but I don't think either are great. I think both are sort of middle of the road teams who will put up a fight against everyone, like pretty much everyone, and give everyone a tough game. But I don't think either of them are going to be many games ahead of sort of 9-8, 8-9, you know, that midpoint now.
Yeah, it'll certainly be an interesting division to watch moving forward. Speaking of, the Bengals did beat the Cardinals 34-20. Dave, are the Bengals back, or is this just the Cardinals and next week they're going to go back to how they were in the first few weeks?
I think when we did this, like the preview last week, we said that like that the Cardinals are a sort of team that's not going to be an easy win, and I think it looked a lot easier than we maybe thought it would. But I think Joe Burrow looked a lot better than he had. You know, he looked a lot more mobile. He had a couple of runs that looked sort of pretty decent. You know, like where he escaped and sort of got away. I think this looks so much better, I think, from the Bengals. You know, you come out of this, Ja'Marr Chase, like almost 200 yards, 3 touchdowns. That is Ja'Marr Chase, and that is the sort of game we've been waiting for him, from him. I think if you're the Bengals, you're really encouraged by what you saw, because it's not the win. I think the win, well, it matters, but you know, I think the win, everyone probably thought they'd probably get out of this with a win, but I think they did it a lot better than they have looked in recent weeks, just putting up, you know, bit like lots of yards, some big plays in there, which we haven't really seen from them so far. I think it was a lot more encouraging. And what, Seahawks this week, a bye, then a massive game against the 49ers and the Bills coming up after the bye. So it'll be interesting to see how they come out of that bye. But by then, if Burrow carries on with how he sort of looked to that, like on Sunday, in terms of his calf, obviously looking way better, I think, by the time we get to them 49ers and Bills game, they probably should be sort of firing, hopefully. But I think it was a lot more encouraging. The performance, as much as anything, was just way more encouraging for the Bengals.
Yeah, this did finally start to look like them old selves. Talking of looking like their old selves, the Rams finally got Cooper Kupp back, and it was like he'd never been gone. He just came straight in, and that first drive in particular, it was literally like watching the 2021 Rams, where they just throw the ball every single play. It's just like there's as if there's no one else on the team. Unfortunately, couldn't get the win over the Eagles in the end. But Miles, were there some encouraging signs for the Rams here?
They've just got two really good wide receivers now, haven't they? That's all that happened. You know, Kupp came back and got 118 yards, but Puka Nacua, still 71 yards and a touchdown. Like, that tandem is excellent, you know? I think, you know, Stafford, solid numbers. They didn't do much on the ground, but Kyren was fine, I guess. But I think, you know, testing yourself against the Eagles is tough. You know, I don't think you can really... I wouldn't say they played badly at all. I know if you're stuck at two scores, usually you haven't had a great day, but I don't think they played badly. I just think, you know, Jalen Carter in the middle of that Philly D line is just a joke. Like, it's just not... When they drafted him, it was just not fair. Like, it wasn't, because they've already got a really good defense, and now... And then you put him in it. It is actually not fair. So... Anyone that struggles offensively against the Eagles, they get a pass from me every time, because that team's just ridiculous.
Yeah, they're certainly an absolutely stacked team. And I do think that is the most annoying thing about Nick Sirianni, is that he's always going to have a good team, and he's always going to ride on their coattails. So it's going to be many more years of his annoying face on our screens to look forward to. Move on to the Jets and the Broncos. This is the thing. I think you really noticed the quality of quarterback, where you saw the Jets, they were gaining good yards, and even Zach Wilson was throwing the ball all right, but they just kept getting to the red zone and couldn't do anything from there. And I think that's really where you see the difference in quarterback, is being able to make those tight throws when you get to the red zone. Dave, some encouraging signs for the Jets, or is this just being the better of two bad teams?
Yeah, I think it's more of the latter, really. I think this is two pretty bad teams. But again, I don't think Russell Wilson played too bad. Like, didn't do a great deal wrong. I think he was fine. But I don't know. It was... Like, it felt like Jaleel McLaughlin had... way more than 68 yards. It felt like he was like breaking off big plays every time it cut to this game. But if it only ended up with 68 yards on the ground. But, you know, it was... I don't really know what you're hoping for if you're a Jets fan, to be honest. You know, like, I don't know what your hope now is for the season with, you know, Aaron Rodgers obviously gone. I don't know whether you're hoping to get like a high pick, whether you're, you know, hoping to just be win a few games and like, go into next season with a bit of momentum for Rodgers to come back. I don't really know what the Jets are hoping for, but I mean, I know that the Broncos were not hoping for this. This was not the plan when you go out and get Sean Payton and pay them picks, but it was lovely to see him on the sideline losing this one after you know, the off-season stuff, wasn't it? It was lovely to see, but yeah, I don't really know what either of these teams really take from this other than the Broncos knowing that they are an absolutely miserable team right now and one of the worst defensive teams we've maybe ever seen. Giving up 31 points to the Zach Wilson Jets.
Zach Wilson didn't even throw a touchdown.
Yeah.
That's what I was saying about they kept getting to the red zone and having to settle for field goals. It was just somewhat disappointing for the Jets. I think, as you say, it's tough to know what they expect. I think it seems pretty obvious at this point they're going to stick with Zach Wilson. They don't appear to be interested in replacing him.
I don't think there's any value in it, is there, really? Like, assuming Rodgers is going to come back, and I'm assuming from everything he's sort of saying that the indication is he will come back next year and be ready to go and all that, blah de blah, then I don't know, like, what are they going to do? Like, get a quarterback in for...
One year
to then just miss out on the playoffs or you know, win seven, eight games. Yeah, like I don't see any real value in
now they're picking at 10. And do you want to trade the 10th overall pick for a rental for one season? No, really.
And are you gonna get anyone good enough who can actually win you a Super Bowl?
You know, you've got the Dolphins and the Bills just in the division. It's not like it's just you know, it's not like it there. You know, if you're in the north or something, then maybe you could go, look, 9 games might get it done. You know, the way the games are going and the teams are going in that division, then, you know, 9 wins might sneak you in the playoffs. Where in the east, that's not even going to be close, is it really? And then you're just hoping to get a wild card spot. Like, I just don't see any value in the Jets making a change, really. You're better off losing. Like, they own their first round pick. Like, they're not going anywhere this year, so you might as well just get a higher pick as possible, get more help for Rodgers on the offensive line next year, you know, just draft whoever the best tackle is or whatever available at that time, and you know, just really try and help Rodgers sort of assume you're going to go into next season with him, because it seems like that's the way it's going to go, doesn't it? It seems like he's trending towards that from what he's saying already, but obviously you never know with Rodgers what's going on, you know, he's sort of rubbing some dirt on it somewhere and all this sort of thing, and you know, doing like some sort of dance outside. I don't know what he's doing these days, but you know, it reminds me of like Robin Van Persie back in the day with some like horse placenta or whatever. You know, he's going for all that sort of stuff. But I just don't see any value in the Jets really in trying to improve this team this season, because like, what is the point? What are they doing it for? And I think they're just being hurting themselves long term to actually try and make a change.
Well, that's the thing about Rodgers playing, is that pick they sent to the Packers will stay as the second. It's not going to be turning into a first. Might as well make the most of that. And like you say, you know, that offensive line really does need help. Might as well try and build that. Just give themselves a better chance next year is all you can really hope for. I mean, Rodgers is saying he's going to be potentially back for this season. I mean, that's the thing. Unless he does actually have some superior kind of healing methods Western medicine hasn't figured out yet.
He's going to come back and play for like the 3-12 Jets for like the last couple of games. Like, of course it's not.
I mean, that's the thing. It just doesn't seem much point in the season at this point. No. But you never know. We'll see what they can do. Maybe they can cause a few upsets here or there. Moving on to one of the teams who actually has a chance of winning the Super Bowl, the Chiefs with a win over the Vikings. I mean, I guess it was a sort of all right performance from the Vikings. They sort of, I guess it was quite spirited. There seemed to be more calls about the Chiefs getting all the calls again. Miles, is that what you were saying, or are the Chiefs just a better team?
No, I think they were just a better team. I think I know, you know, there have been games where I've been like, okay, they are getting a lot of calls today, but that this wasn't one of them. I think, you know, they were just the better team. I think it was really that simple. I don't think they, you know, they didn't really put a foot wrong. They just kind of chugged along and won by one score. You know, it was a really mediocre performance from both teams, and the Chiefs kind of just came out on top. And last season, the Vikings kept winning one score games, and now it seems to be the other way around. So I don't actually think Minnesota were bad, but yeah, I, you know, they came up against a better team and they lost. It's nothing too much to read into, I don't think. The Chiefs defensively were just a better team. They shut down Justin Jefferson. They held the ground game in check. Offensively, Mahomes did what he does. Nothing, you know, phenomenal. Kelce showed up eventually, got his touchdown, went off again. Now they're saying he didn't practice today. I think they just did what they had to do and had to sort of brush that game aside. And that's what champions do, is they just win when they have to. They don't play particularly well, but they get the job done. And that's exactly what the Chiefs did. And that's why I still think they'll be there lifting the Lombardi.
Well, it is interesting how Kelce was almost seemed to get better after the sprained ankle. Again, maybe he's using some kind of Aaron Rodgers healing method there. Although apparently they're very
Pfizer
divided
boy
on,
or whatever, yeah.
Exactly, Mr. Pfizer, they're very divided on that subject.
That vaccine really has healing powers, you know.
Well, yeah, clearly maybe Rodgers has seen that and he goes, oh, maybe that is what I need to get back from this Achilles. We'll move on to the last game of the week. Last game of the week so far, I should say. It's an absolute thrashing in San Francisco. Just an absolute murder of the Dallas Cowboys. 42-10. Just got hit with a tombstone pile driver off the Golden Gate Bridge. Brock Purdy, the game of his life. George Kittle, finally see him catching the ball again. I mean, obviously, he's one of those very versatile tight ends. He arguably as good at blocking as he is at receiving, but 3 touchdowns for him in this game. Every catch was a touchdown. I mean, yeah. pretty
the bizarre stat line.
Maybe the Cowboys just need to learn how to tackle or something. I sort of heard the commentary talk about how the Cowboys really wanted to prove how good a tackling team they are in this game, because the 49ers have a lot of players who are very hard to tackle, and it very much looked like it in this game. 42-10. Dave, what do you read into this one? Obviously, we came into this game thinking they're probably both contenders. It wasn't really that close in the end.
No, I think the 49ers is just like, it's hard to see how they lose. I mean, I said last week, I don't think they're going to go 17-0, but you know, they've not got the hardest schedule in the world coming up. You know, they've got to play the Eagles in week 13, but other than that, like, there's not really anyone that you look at and think they're probably going to be favoured in every game the rest of the season, other than potentially that Eagles game. So, like, I mean, it's hard to see them losing too many games, and you know, they're just good in basically every department. They've got lots of players that can win, like, can hurt you on offense. They got obviously a great defense. They're just good all round. And Brock Purdy, like, I'm not sure it would work quite as well as it does if he went to a different team. I'm not sure how good he is and how, like,
but
you
it
know,
works.
Yeah, but for the 49ers, he's like the perfect player. And I think it sort of makes a little bit of sense when you see how well Purdy works. All the links we've had over the years with Shanahan wanting Kirk Cousins, because I think Purdy does sort of remind me of Cousins a bit, you know, where he's sort of like, he's just
sensible.
He's going to do what he, like, Shanahan wants him to do. He's going to, like, run the play how it's supposed to be run. He's, you know, he's just going to, he's not maybe the most electric playmaker, or, you know, like, going to do, got, like, the biggest arm or the most athletic or whatever, but he's just sort of good. You know, he just does what he's supposed to do. And I think it's sort of perfect for what the 49ers want him to do. And yeah, I mean, they look as good a team as I can remember for a few seasons right now, you know, like, just all round. Like, I think the Chiefs have had higher highs, but the floor on the 49ers right now is, like, so high that it's hard to really see who knocks them off. I think somebody will, but, you know, it's hard to see how that happens without somebody just having a an incredible game because they're not going to turn the ball over too much. You know, they can give it to McCaffrey. They can leave it to Purdy. They're just such a good all-round team. And yeah, I really struggle to see where they're going to end up losing. I think they will, but I think it's going to be just a random upset somewhere along the line where, you know, it's one of these weird games where there is a turnover or two just out of nowhere, a fumble or something, you know, they pick up and run it back. But yeah, it's really hard to see the 49ers not being in the Super Bowl right now, which is quite weird really because it's so early. But, you know, if they stay healthy, which they haven't for a few years really, have they? That's been their big issue in recent years. So they've always had some injuries. But if they stay healthy, then they are going to be very, very hard to beat.
Yeah, I mean, they're just a very good team. And it is quite nice, this, because with the Giants being so bad and the Eagles being so good, one of the few joys I do get out of the NFL regularly is the Cowboys being disappointing. Looking good and then failing. That's at least something I can rely on for some joy from the NFL. Move on to just a quick Monday night preview. Packers at the Raiders. We've just heard that Aaron Jones is going to be out for this game. Miles, does that affect who you think is going to win in this one?
Not really, because Aaron Jones didn't play very well last week, but neither did the Raiders. I think the Raiders were better than we expected. You know, Aidan O'Connell looked very flustered in the pocket last time out, but, you know, thrown in the deep end, can't really criticise him too much. Packers were just a bit, you know. Yeah, I know Lions are a good team, and yeah, I don't know. I think this is going to go down to, if the Raiders can get the ground game going, then they're in with a good shot. But I still prefer the Packers for this one, mainly because I just think Jordan Love is a bit better than we expected, and their receivers are all playing quite well. So yeah, I'm going to go with the Packers to edge it.
Yeah, I'm going with the Packers as well on this one. I just think there's more there. Like they've shown a bit more. Obviously, Devontae Adams had that monster game, but he's very much capable of that. Jimmy Garoppolo at quarterback does not inspire me, and to be honest, a lot of the rest of this Raiders team is very similar. I can't imagine Josh McDaniels is keeping that job for much longer, to be honest. Dave, who are you taking?
I mean, all I'm rooting for in this game is the Raiders stay healthy so they can beat us next week on our road to the number one pick. That's all I'm rooting for at this one. Just come out of this healthy, Vegas. You know, keep everyone intact. You know, however you have to get there, fine. But, you know, do us a favour.
They beat us, and then McDaniels comes back at the end of the season.
Yeah,
and then everything's
great. You know, we get a quarterback who can actually enjoy. You know, it's so easy how this works out, but it could all go wrong this week. You know, Adams gets injured or something, and all that. But yeah, I'll pick the Raiders. I've actually picked the Raiders. I think, you know, Devontae Adams revenge game. I think that's always a nice little story going into these sort of games, but it does feel like there is maybe something there with him. You know, probably not 100%, but probably really wants to play in this game and wants to put on a show. So yeah, I think the Raiders probably win, but I don't think either of these teams are too interesting, are they, this year? I think they're sort of fine, middle of the road teams that no one really cares too much either way, do they?
Well, he did mention, Adams, that he really wanted to be selected as an All-Pro without Aaron Rodgers. So I feel like this is kind of the kind of thing that would definitely matter to him.
Yeah.
Yeah, like you mentioned, it is funny hearing you talk about just wanting the Raiders to stay healthy. I have fully got a picture in my head. You've got this big conspiracy theory board with all the red string. Caleb Williams is at the middle of it. And it's all, how do the Patriots get to that number one pick? And that's the only thing in your mind right now. But, you know, fair enough. I guess it's something to look forward to. At least you've got something.
Yeah. Well, I think it's like the Premier League. I think the Premier League's always a bit better when Man U have got a good team, because then you can sort of hate them properly. You know, like when they've got a rubbish team, it's like no good. And I think that's the same for everyone else with the Patriots. I think everyone else should want the Patriots to be good and do everything to make that possible.
I have to agree on Man United and disagree on the Patriots. I think this is the way I have to go on that one. Yeah, so that just about wraps us up for this week. Dave, any parting words for us?
Oh, no, I'm just going to leave it this week. I don't want to talk about him.
Okay, we'll leave it there. Miles, any parting words?
Yeah, I said to someone the other day, I think it is actually time to blow it all up in New England and start again. And I don't think anything's going to change my mind on that, sadly. But yeah, I think we're looking at the end of the Bill Belichick era, and hopefully the Mac Jones era. Yeah,
you know, there are quite a lot of players in the NFL who are not called Mac Jones. And you both of you are perfectly free to talk about any of the others who do make you happy. I'll just
I talk about Gardner Minshew every single week. Like, even when he doesn't play, I manage to shoehorn him into the conversation. So, you know, I think that's what should happen is we bring in Gardner Minshew and Caleb Williams sits behind him for a year and learns. And then, you know, we're looking, that's basically Mahomes and Smith 2.0, right? So I think that's what we should do.
I think the problem is we'd record on a Monday and it's still so raw for me, you know, like I'm still so pissed off about like last night. Like, we're basically 24 hours away.
Yeah, you need to process it more. Yeah.
Yeah. If we did this on like a Tuesday, Wednesday, I probably wouldn't even be so bothered about him. But, you know, right now I absolutely despise the man.
It's one of the nice things that I get to sort of disassociate. And this is the thing, I've completely stopped watching Giants games. By themselves, I just watch Red Zone. There is no part of me that wants to watch every play of a Giants game at this point. But I started
out watching the Patriots last night and quickly just went Red Zone only. That was that did not last long. It's dreadful. But any last words from you?
From myself, just make sure to follow us at @first10_. We will once again be at the press conferences this week for the Ravens and the Titans, so make sure to look out for those. And yeah, please do come back next week. We'll have a week 6 preview later this week, and then we'll be back next week again for another review. Thanks for listening.